WTLC AM Indianapolis.
Indy's choice for inspiration and praise.
AM 1310, The Light.
And tomorrow, we'll have folks talking about the what is occurring to one out of every four Indianapolis Marion County households. These are households that live above the poverty rate, but they make less than the standard of living to live in Indianapolis. These households are called ALICE, Asset Limited Income Challenged but Employed. And folks from the United Ways of Indiana, all the different United Ways have done this research, and it is devastating. And we'll be here and share that with you. We're understanding the President of the United States will talk to the nation tomorrow evening about his plans to unilaterally deal with some things on immigration. We'll get your reaction to that on Friday. We have no idea what's going to happen in Ferguson. When they do, we'll deal with that. 2-3, but we're dealing with stuff close to home. If you just tuned in, we're getting community reaction to what I am calling the eviction of middle school students and high school students from Short Ridge High School. This was not normally. When you close a school, you move the students. It is rare. I mean rare. It is so rare, if you had these odds, you could win Powerball. To move students from an existing school and substitute students into that school from another school. So in real life, you call that an eviction. And the students at Short Ridge High School, the law and public policy, they had grown their state-mandated grade to a C. That sounds like, Michael Brown, you're paying the rent on time. The middle school, they kind of backslid a little last school year, the 2013 school year, they were a C. They backslid a little to D because their I-step scores kind of slipped a little bit. But that's still paying the rent. That's not an F. Both of these schools were doing their job. They were trying to progress, but the IPS school board last night voted 4-1 to evict the middle school students who will be reassigned to other middle schools in the district and to evict Short Ridge students to Tech to continue law and public policy, though IPS is saying, well, those Short Ridge students can stay, but they got to be in the International Baccalaureate School, and they have to meet higher standards. I still haven't gotten a straight answer on the higher standards from IPS that is too afraid to come on this program because, A, Michael Brown, they should have known this was going to be the major discussion in our community today. And any other time when we've had discussions in IPS, IPS PR has always made themselves available because they knew what was going to happen. Anyway, Michael, why didn't we do the thing with having both the IB full-time program and law and public policy in the same building?
You know, interestingly enough, that would have flown a lot smoother than what has taken place currently. When conversations were started back a year or so ago, I know that there were a lot of the students from both schools didn't want to lose their identity. With me, that was fine. I understood that. They didn't necessarily want to coexist. So my motion was that we let both of them exist as singular entities. Had no idea down the road that this was about, you know, the building for Gambo. And like I said, make no mistake about it, I think Gambo is a fine program. I think the IB students want to be grouped together with other high-achieving students, and they draw from each other. I have absolutely no problem with that. However, I have a problem with moving 164 students into an 1,100-student building. You know, and then now we have recently renovated Gambo, updated the science labs to meet IB standards, and now that building is going to be empty with the exception of the charter school that we're leasing space to in Lafayette Academy.
Let me ask you, when you got emails from people who were supportive of Gamble moving to Shortridge, and they said that the building was not conducive to a high school, that it was a middle school building, it needed to be upgraded, people I heard were asking, there's no theater, there's no this, there's no that, there's no sports. Where did all that come from? Because I understand there was sports at Gamble. No IPS high school has a theater. They must be confusing that with Pike or Warren. When you saw all of this implying that you can't have a high school in a middle school building, I don't know what there's no law in the Constitution that says that. What did you think about those letters from people that were passionate about Gamble but didn't have a clue what was going on?
You know, that was a little concerning to me because Northwest has two gyms and it's a mile or three-quarters of a mile from Gamble. Gamble does not have a football field, but Northwest does. Gamble doesn't have a football team either. Gamble does have a basketball team, and yes, their floor is not ISHAA regulation, but Northwest, like I said, is three-quarters of a mile away, and they have two gyms. I thought that those were reasons, you know, to want a new building, you know, but those weren't reasons. They had nothing to do with the educational aspect of the school. The educational aspect is the teachers and the students.
All right, Michael Brown, there's going to be a meeting tomorrow night, 6:30, in the auditorium of Shortridge High School. It's being called by Shortridge parents and other concerned folks in the community, alumni, community leaders, pastors, politicians, everybody concerned about Shortridge trying to save it ought to be there. That's tomorrow at 6:30. Michael Brown, always good to talk to you. Thanks very much, sir, for being with us. 239-1310, 239-1310, this afternoon's with Amos. Okay, IPS, y'all know what the live line phone number is. If you want to hit, you know, have the community hear your side of the story, you know the number, give me a call. 239-1310, that'll allow me to talk to Marcella. Hi, Marcella.
Hi, Amos. my heart is so broken about what's going on. This is desegregation or separation or whatever you want to call it. But the sad part is, they care nothing about our children. Money talks, and I'm not going to finish the rest of it, but you know what walks.
Mm-hmm.
This was in the works. It was a plan. And you're right. They're going to try and take the attics, but if this is not a can of worms, this is a bomb about to explode in Indianapolis, Indiana. What is going on is that our kids are going to be left out in the cold. They're talking about gangs and this and that and the other. This is a gang right here. Them against them. What are they teaching our kids? They're uprooting kids that had nothing to do with this. They don't want their kids with these kids. Those kids get along fine. It's the adults that are acting a fool. A complete fool. I have four kids. They have to come up in this nasty, sick world.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a sad, sad situation before it's all over with. And our kids are paying the price of the adults that have the money, not to help, but to snatch their lives and education away from them.
You know, and if Sam Odell is listening, Sam, you need to call 239-1310 because people want to hear from the board members that voted for it. You know, and that's the problem and concern that I have with the people that put this idea together. They have no soul.
No, they don't.
They have no feeling. Even the person on the IPS official Twitter thing is tweeting these things. For example, they tweeted out something about the racial demographics of the two schools. Like, I have talked about the racial demographics. I have not talked about the racial demographics of the two schools because it's irrelevant. There are black, white and Latino students that are being evicted from Shortridge. Some of the most eloquent speeches last night on behalf of Shortridge were from their white students. And at the beginning of the program, I made it clear that all of the speakers, I didn't hear all the speakers, but I know the reports that I've gotten, all the speakers were eloquent, no matter what side they were on, and the students were the best. And there were students of all racial groups.
Yeah.
That spoke for Shortridge, that spoke for Gambold. They all did a great job. And I was sitting there listening to them saying, what a tragedy that IPS is pitting their best and brightest against each other.
It is.
And, oh, here's the other thing. Standing in the, there were two people standing, there were three adults that I saw that was interesting last night. One out in the side room. There was a white guy seemingly coaching students from Gambold before they went in to testify. I don't know whether that was the principal of Gambold. I don't know who this young white guy was, kind of coaching the students. Then the principal of Shortridge stood in the back of the room, and his face had to be a mask of no emotion. And but I know inside he was torn in many directions. And then on the other side in the back of the room, looking a little bit like, he's going to be mad how I say this, Drew, but I don't care. Looking a little bit like, you know, the Emperor in the Star Wars movies, Emperor Palpatine. This was the executive director of Stand for Children, and he was kind of looking in the back. And I at one point I'm going, is he saying, the plan of the Empire is, I can see that my plan is working.
Let's stand for children. How are you going to stand for children and they don't even make kindergartners go to school? What kind of mess is that? That's ludicrous.
Call the senator. I know the senator's trying to get through. Because there were a few elected officials there last night and they didn't like what was going on. 239-1310. I'm just been told that at the concerned clergy meeting this Saturday, 9 o'clock, the Julia Carson building. You don't have to be a member of 10, but if you want to eat the breakfast, bring somebody to pay for your breakfast. The superintendent will be in concerned clergy. Oh, Lord. That's going to be hotter than any college football game on TV Saturday. Anyway, I appreciate the call, my dear. 239-1310. 239-1310 is afternoon's name is Drew. Let's take a break. Get some folks squared away. We'll be back with more. Everybody wants to talk about Shortridge. The eviction of Shortridge. The school board, Sam Odell, Diane Arnold, Caitlin Hanning, and Annie Ruth, along with Superintendent Farabee and the gang from Carolina, acted as judge, jury, and a constable, throwing out on the street, figuratively, the current middle school and high school students at Shortridge. What a mess. It's Afternoons with Amos After the End.
Hello, this is Maggie Lewis, president of the City County Council. And when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. State Senator Jean Brough attended the IPS school board meeting, and I believe she was there for all of the public testimony and the vote afterwards. Senator, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you, Amos.
Your reaction after all of that, I understand after the board made their vote, you know, the students from Shortridge didn't take it well.
Nor did I, Amos. I did not, unfortunately, I did not stay throughout the entire meeting. It was obvious to me what the decision was. It reminded me so much of being in the Indiana General Assembly when they have these perfunctory hearings just to say that they've given people an opportunity to speak when they've clearly already made up their minds, and they are not in any way paying attention to the comments that people are making, and especially those young people. I was just devastated in listening to the young people, and, you know, they have connected to this school. They have really gotten something from this curriculum and this partnership with this school, and it meant nothing to those folks on the school board, absolutely nothing. So, no, I wasn't able to stay to the end, and I watched it on television, and I wasn't even able to finish watching it on television because it was just tearing me apart.
Does IPS understand, and we're going into a legislative session where one of the major things from the Republican majority is redoing the school funding formula, which nobody can understand, not even calculus scientists can understand it. Does IPS understand that actions like this makes it even harder for the smaller Democratic minority to even want to stand up and defend IPS against Republican efforts to reduce their funding?
Absolutely. No, I don't think they do, but I intend to provide some kind of documentation to them that will certainly say that quite clearly. You know, part of me has some bit of empathy with IPS in the sense that I realize that the things that are happening at the State House, the things that are being put upon them by the Republicans at the State House is making it extremely difficult. You know, we're constantly taking money from them, and we're expecting them to operate with fewer dollars. And so I think perhaps in some way they see this IB program as their savior, that they're going to get this school, it's going to be centrally located so that people want to attend, they'll be able to have these partnerships with Butler, and that will be the resurrection for IPS. But what they seem to fail to understand is that one school don't make no show, and they are in their apathetic attitude towards the folks at Shortridge High School and their unwillingness to recognize the impact that this has on the entire district and these children's lives that they're supposed to be responsible for. They're supposed to be overseeing them. They don't seem to understand the holistic concept of this thing. They think that they can just do it for this one school and everything else will work itself out, and it won't. And it won't, and all it does is alienate those of us who are doing everything we can to try to support and fight for IPS, especially down at the State House.
Is what makes this situation more serious is this is not a cut and dry school closing where you're closing the building, you're mothballing the building, and instruction will not occur in the building. This is basically moving one group of students out of a building. That's why I'm calling it an eviction, to move somebody else in. That is not the norm in education.
And what is really bothersome about this is how they went about it. I spoke to a parent from Shortridge this morning who says, and she, this was also stated last night, that the 11th of November was the scheduled school board meeting, and at 7:30 p.m. on November 10th, the day before the school board meeting in which this topic was to be discussed, the superintendent sent a robocall that was inaudible. So the parents didn't really understand what he was talking about, and I suspect that was by design, so that it would diminish the number of folks that would actually be in attendance to voice their outrage and make this smooth a smooth transition. And that's precisely what happened. And not only that, they don't seem, and this came out last night, they don't seem to have any idea how it's going to affect these children in terms of their transcripts, in terms of their placement in tech, in terms of their ability to continue their focus on law. I mean, none of this seems to have been worked out. And they are supposed to be the school board. They are supposed to be the overseers of public education in the city of Indianapolis, and yet they have been unable to articulate just what's going to happen to a significant portion of their student body.
You, as an elected official, and I know other elected officials have always gone to areas that have suffered hurt or neighborhoods that have had a problem. When a problem arises, you go out there. And as we went on the air, I saw on Twitter a tweet from Superintendent Farabee with a picture. He was out at Tech this morning, out at the culinary program at Tech, which I think you've been out there.
It's a wonderful program.
It's a great program. But it struck me, why wasn't the superintendent at Shortridge today? That's where he needed to be. Tech, he could go tomorrow. But it sends the wrong signal.
I think this whole thing sends the signal. Again, this was expressed very clearly, I thought, by the young people last night. They clearly, the folks at Shortridge High School don't matter to him. That if he was to balance the Gambolt students and the Shortridge High School students, he is going to put more weight in favor of the Gambolt students. And what kind of message is that sending to the young people who have, as you've stated, turned a school from an F to a C, and as the parent told me this morning, they've had fundraising drives to repair the course, the track that's out there. Mm-hmm. They have invested their own money and their own time in repairing the gym, the gymnasium that these Gambolt students are so anxious to take over. You know, these folks have committed time, energy, and effort and are actually benefiting from a program. We talk about IPS doesn't work. Well, here we have a school that's working. We had those children, I thought, were far more articulate than the Gambolt students that I was present to hear. And yet the school board and the superintendent are saying, well, we don't care, that there's more value to us to bring 164 and displace 700, 800, whatever the number is, than what we say we want, and that is to see schools grow and thrive and go from low grades to high grades. And they're doing that, and yet they're just slapping them in the face and kicking them down the road. It's despicable to me.
Why do I think the concerned clergy meeting this Saturday is going to be off the chain?
But you know what, Amos, and this is what I hope that you'll be able to help me with, and all the rest of us who are concerned about this. There's got to be more that we can do. I'm trying to now figure out if there's anything legislatively
And somebody raised the question, and we asked Commissioner Michael Brown whether there was a recall provision for school board members. He thought there might be something. That may be something get the Legislative Services Agency to check out. Is there recall for school board members?
Okay, and that would be to recall the folks that are coming on to the board?
Or recall the existing, or recall any elected school board member at any time. Is there that process?
Okay, I can certainly check into that, because I'm just really chomping at the bit to try to figure out. I'm just so tired. They are coming at us from every direction, Amos. There is so much happening in the school district, with Arlington, with Marshall, with Manuel, with Washington, with Shortridge, now with Gambolt. It's so difficult to get a handle on it, because it's coming at us from every direction. And then you've got what they're trying to do at the State House. I'm just so tired of sort of being the rubber mat.
Well, the other thing, let me ask this. Did the superintendent sit down with the entire Marion County Democratic legislative delegation last year, or with the caucus? The Black Caucus?
I think the caucus may have initiated a meeting with him when he was first introduced, or when he first took over as superintendent. But during the whole legislative session, when he worked to ram that bill 1321, I think or the bill that we thought he was going to use to combine both Shortridge and Gambolt into one school, which obviously they've thought differently on that, but during that whole process, and that was some contentious legislation, because I spoke several times on the floor against it, but he never once reached out to me. He never once reached out, as far as I know, to any of the members of the Marion County delegation.
Is it time to summon him to go to Jesus meeting?
You know, part of me thinks it might be, but the other part of me thinks I think he's very dismissive. I think he doesn't feel that he needs us. He's got the mind trust and the stand.
Well, if he wants to be Greg Ballard Jr., let's find this out now. And if you're listening on the seventh floor, Greg Ballard Jr. means a top official that refuses to meet with Black elected officials. So, Superintendent, what you ought to do is send a note to the entire Marion County Democratic delegation and get together with them, because you got, as they used to say on Lucy and Desi, Desi would say, you got some splaining to do, Lewis.
And presumably he needs us, but I guess he doesn't really think that he does.
Oh, wait till the Republicans try to cut his school funding formula 45%.
I'm going to be right there with him.
I appreciate it.
I wouldn't do that to the kids in IPS.
I appreciate it. Let me go to Reverend Phillips right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos Brown.
Yes.
I was listening to that comment. And it don't add up to me, because I smell a dead cat on the line. I do. I just smell a dead cat. Because when I was listening to the broadcast the first semester, and I was hearing Michael Brown, and I think there was a caller, a female caller, and I think the female caller was trying to present her case. And I think that this Michael Brown, he didn't try to answer the lady's question.
What was the question?
Because she graduated from, she said she graduated from,
Shortridge, yeah.
I believe, Tech.
Yeah, okay.
She graduated from Tech.
Yeah.
And her daughter go to,
go to something. Hey. And again, I can't remember the question, but I think he tried to answer all the questions the best of ability. Let me go to quickly to Counselor Joe Simpson. Counselor, how you doing?
Hey, Amos.
What's your reaction to this? Because I'm still getting over the ignorance of geography by IPS administration trying to say that Short Ridge belongs to the Mapleton Fall Creek neighborhood when there's about 8 or 9 different neighborhoods that are immediately adjacent to Short Ridge.
Well, Amos, let me say this. The resolution, as I sit here and listen to your show today, and Senator Rowe, she's the Senator Gene, listen to me. Tell her that I would love to, you know, city council are over school corporations.
Mm.
And I think if they can't get it together, I would go to my legislator and ask them to turn that school board over to the city county council.
Oh, Lord.
Because at least the people in the community, if I didn't do my job or if I didn't represent them schools or we as a city county council don't rep their schools, you think they'll vote me back in, Amos?
No.
Different than a school board. Like, you've been talking about school boards for years about how people don't pay any attention. They try to move it to December. Well, these people are not in tune or committed to the community. And the real issue for me is they're hurting the students. They're hurting. It's just like pre-K. We're going to help the lowest common denominator of kids to go to pre-K so they can get a better education to fight crime. Well, this is the same solution. Where are you going? How are you going to help these kids when you're moving schools around and these folks can't afford to buy bus passes? Schools can't afford to get them to school. I mean, it's hard enough as it is, and now you start to do the shuffle.
Yeah.
I mean, the common denominator is the kids who cannot afford. Why we have so many homeless kids walking around here? I mean, that's the issue. If some folks in that ed building really, really care, and if they really care, they would start caring about the kids who they're hurting when you move 750 kids and the word out there on the street. Now, these are kids talking.
Yeah.
Is that they're not going to Tech. They're going to scatter to every school around here. And when they take that program over there, which they say they're going to have 750 kids, they may end up with less than 100.
And here's the problem. IPS lost 1,300 African-American students between last school year and this school year. When I confronted the superintendent with that, he played it off saying, oh, that's because they've added charters. This could get even worse with this situation.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Parents are going to look to the best situation where it's close to them, and they are going to, whoever's close and wherever they're going to go, but the words the kids are on the way, and I have kids out there telling me that a lot of them are going to go to schools that they want to go to. It's not going to be Tech.
Right.
Kids out here feel Tech is, but my solution is for my state legislators, put a proposal in, turn the school board over to the city county council.
All right, I appreciate it, city county councilor. Joe Simpson just got word from somebody on Twitter. Tweeted me, just got word, Dr. Farabee will be over at Short Ridge to meet with staff in about an hour. That would make it about 3:40 after school. So why wasn't he over there this morning greeting students? Now, I understand meeting with the staff after school, but you needed to meet with the students. You went to Tech, had lunch. You could have done that tomorrow. You should have had lunch with the Short Ridge students today. It's Afternoons with Amos about the eviction of middle school and high school students from Short Ridge after these.
Hi, this is Linda L.C. Clemens, and when I want to stay informed, I always listen to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
Let me kind of move through, folks, very, very quickly. Let me go to Mike. Mike, you got 1 minute. Mike? Mike going once. Mike going twice. Let me move on to Robert. Robert, you got 1 minute.
Amos, you know, when you had the board, the people that was elected to the board,
yeah,
about 3 weeks ago, and you were trying to get some information from them about where the money, their money was coming from. That was a tip-off point because they were trying to be too coy, and then I knew that they had something, in store, for the community. Another thing, this just brings to the point that the community has to be in a perpetual state of, mobilization because they are coming at us in all directions. For the school system, knowing that if they destroyed black education, then there would not be any way that the race can move forward.
All right, good point. Let me go to Lewis. Lewis, you have 1 minute.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
Fine.
Yeah, I got a comment, a couple of things I want to talk about. One thing with that lady said, and which is true, and which a lot of folks don't pay any attention, politics is nothing but bullying, and that's what the school board did with the students over at Shortridge, was bully up on them to let another school come and move in on them. You know, one thing the community do need to do is start getting behind their schools, start getting more involved with their community in order to make things happen, because as a unit, we can make things happen more so than the Mind Trust, more so than the people that stand for children, because everybody on that board, as I told you last week, they all from charter schools, you know. And by them people being tied with charter schools, people don't realize that is what IPS is about ready to do within a 3-mile radius outside of downtown.
Right.
And if people don't get together and see what's really going on, seeing what's happening, and start getting involved, we're going to lose the battle like we've been losing the battle for years.
All right, I got to move on. Let me go to Norman. Norman, you have 1 minute.
Good afternoon, Brother Brown.
Good afternoon.
Brother, for me, it goes to show exactly the reason why that when the people for Stan came on right before the election, this is the reason why they didn't want to tell you how much money they were actually getting. And they would tell you where the money was coming from, but they would tell you where it was getting, you know, how much.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that goes down, it shows you what they spent the money on. They bought this. They bought this. It was bought and paid for before the election was even done. They already knew. If you notice, it's just like setting up a really, really good chessboard. Everything was already in place for this eviction. It was already in place, and they let those children and those teachers and other concerned people pour their hearts out, and then they turned a blind eye like, oh, well, you know, that's all I want to say, brother.
I appreciate it. D, you got the last word for today. You have 1 minute.
Operation Shutdown Shortridge, Friday morning, 6 a.m.
What?
Shut down Shortridge, Friday morning, 6 a.m. They made a mockery of those people, had them coming there and plead and beg. So we're asking all people who love this school, love this community, meet us there at 6 a.m. in the morning. We're standing in peaceful protest. We need to stop talking and start doing.
All right. It's amazing what you can hear on this program from the community.
That's right.
All right. All right. 6 o'clock, huh? All right. Drew, that should be interesting. Let me go back to Twitter, and I think IPS gave up with trying to play pushback on Twitter when they could have come on here and been straight up with the community. IPS. No, they've gone back hiding on the seventh floor in the corner office. Yes, I said seventh floor of the corner office. We'll have more on this. You'll be able to hear, if you missed part of the show, you'll be able to hear some of it, you'll be able to hear it on our website later today, along with some pictures from last night's school board meeting. Maybe even the picture of the principal of Gambol, Drew. Somebody tweeted me and told me that. Trying to coach his students. If you got students in the International Baccalaureate program and they're so smart, you don't need to coach them. Principal of Shortridge didn't coach his students, because they were already well prepared and knew how, if you're in law and public policy, to think on their own. And I would hate to think that the International Baccalaureate students didn't know how to think on their own. That's not what International Baccalaureate whatever is supposed to teach you. Anyway, I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.